come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand. Hi, everyone. This is Bobby Elias. Let's Create a Better World is our show. We also do a lot of body, mind, spirit, aging. Thank you for calling. We have a great show today with two young women that are doing an enormous amount of work in the health field, vegetarian, plant-based diet, greens. They're in New York City. We're going to talk about an event they have planned for New York City, so stay tuned for them and more announcements. They're the future of health, and I'm excited to have these young women on the show. Then, at the very end of the show, we have a few more comments to make about Fidel Castro, who died a few days ago. So let's talk about our show today. Well, first of all, our show, we talk a lot about the plant-based diet, avoiding diseases, living longer, the medical industry, the pharmaceutical industry, what's wrong with them, what we can do about it. We always have solutions. Also about climate change, genetically engineered foods, and what's wrong with them, and again, answers. We also talk about the human spirit, happiness, love, stress, aging. We have a lot of listeners that have been listening to the station for a long time, so we want to talk about aging and how to stay healthy. Announcement. The next, Ellie Lacks. Many people say she's our best guest ever. Very, very popular woman. Talk about animal rights, love. She will a farm where she cares for animals that nobody else wants. We're going to talk about love between the animals and young people. How many people from school kids, the General Barn where she runs, and learn about love. Because a lot of kids in the inner cities don't know much about love, to be honest with you. And they, with these animals giving them love and then returning the love, they're learning a big, big, big thing. And this is wonderful. Ellie is also going to talk about the wrongs of the world and some of the things that we can do about it. She and I have a great discussion on that. So that's coming up. One more thing, the phone number to call, tell your friends. If people want to hear this show, we're on every Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. If they want to hear this show on their phone, they call this number, area 701. 801-3662. Okay, let's get on with our two young guests, Sarah Gross and Mira Haliwada. I hope I pronounced that right. Hello, girls. How are you?
Good. We're great. Thank you.
Great, great. Thank you for being on there. Let me introduce you quickly. You both are running the U.S. Veg Corporation. You do event planning, marketing. You do all about the new health things that are going on with vegetarians, with greens, eco-friendly activities. And you have a big show coming up in New York City, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But first, I'd like to speak to you about the future. Because you're young and because I see a lot of greatness in both of you, I really do, that let's talk about what's happening now and the future of health. And how it's improving, how it's getting bigger, it's exploding. Not just health, vegan movement, organic movement, the green movement, solar movement, the whole thing. Sarah, let me start with you. Your thoughts on that, and then Mary, you come in after that, please. Go ahead.
Okay, well, thanks again for having us on. It is an exciting time to be working in this field of plant-based foods and the plant-based lifestyle that we promote in our events. We keep seeing, it seems like every week, a lot more plant-based food startups and a lot more visibility for these brands that in the past may have had a tiny distribution. Now, nationwide Kroger stores have vegan cheese based out of from nuts, which you would have never found in these small towns that you can now buy vegan cheese. It was really exciting to see earlier this year the Plant-Based Foods Association launching kind of as a lobby group for these particular foods. a lot of people know about Miyoko's vegan nut cheeses, and she was told earlier this year that she couldn't call it cheese. So this plant-based food lobbyist was formed to kind of advocate on behalf of these vegan companies that are really going to kind of uproot and change the traditional dairy and cattle and egg industries with these much more planet-friendly alternatives. So it's a great time to be working on in this industry.
Very much so. You're right. Okay, Neera, would you like to give your thoughts on that, please?
Sure. Just to add on to that, I mean, one of the things that's really I find interesting is that there's been a trend in the interest of the field of food engineering, not only in just people getting involved in food engineering, but also there's been an interest and an increase in funding for developing new products that are plant-based and going against the whole concept of meat and meat industry. I visited in Israel, for example, there's a company out there called Supermeat, and they have been working on a cell rejuvenation type of approach to creating what they called cultured meat, which not only can you create meat using, you know, clean cells from an animal, but it doesn't kill animals at all. And they're getting a lot of support from private and also from the meat industry, to believe it or not, investors who have signed on as soon as the technology is ready to go, then they will be converting their current situations and moving it into more of a plant-based industry. So that's something really exciting in trends in our world, not just the cheese aspect of it, but also creating a situation where not only do we have a way of stopping animal suffering when it comes to the meat aspect of it, but also helping the environment and getting rid of some of these cattle farms.
That's great. You're a heck of a team, the two of you. You're an event planner. And Sarah's been doing so many other things to help. I'd like to get both of your takes on how you got started. And I do want to first say that I do know a little bit about Sarah. You have a company called Rescue Chocolate, I believe it's called, and that all the proceeds go to animal rescue. Tell us about that, and then also tell us how you got started with your background, and then we'll go on from there.
Okay, sure. So Rescue Chocolate, I started exactly 7 years ago next month, and it was not something that I was in school. You know, I didn't go to business school to start a company or anything, but it was a company inspired by my rescue dog, Mocha. She was a pit bull found in a park in the Bronx, and she was taken to the local animal shelter. And on the day she was scheduled to be killed, someone came in to foster her. And this person put her photo all over social media, and I saw it, and I just had to track down this dog because she just looked so... her eyes were just calling out to me. So I met her, and she inspired Rescue Chocolate. It was in a period of time that I was really into trying all of the city's chocolates. I was sort of new to New York City, which I now am calling my home for almost 10 years. But at that time, I would go around the city and try to find every vegan chocolate I could get my hands on. So when I adopted Mocha, I was in that phase, and every morning I would have a chocolate. Then we would go on a walk, and then one day I just had the idea for a chocolate company that donates all profits to animal rescue groups. And that's just how it started. I came at it from a different background. I had been a ballet dancer and then a Pilates instructor, and this was just a totally new passion-driven idea that I just went with because I couldn't turn away from it. So it ended up working out. I work with a factory locally in Brooklyn, and I work with the chef there to come up with our different flavors. And we have each flavor highlight a different rescue issue so that people kind of get a little educational component in addition to just the help that the money from their purchase goes to the animal rescue groups that we work with. So, for instance, our bestseller is the Peanut Butter Pit Bull, and it's crispy peanut butter and dark chocolate, and it says a little bit about pit bulls who are pretty maligned in the media, but in reality, they're just like any other dog.
That's right. Very good. All right, Nira, I know that you're an event planner, you've been marketing, and the two of you complement each other so well. Tell us about what you do and how you got into this whole area.
Sure. So I started having an interest in more of the green movement as an early child, not to date myself, but when I was in elementary school, I had a teacher that was very into green living, and back then recycling was something of a new thing. I grew up in Detroit, where they, at the time, they didn't even have, like, you know, ways to recycle. It was just a concept at the time. And so I'd go home and, you know, force my parents to separate our cans. And even though I wasn't aware of the fact that it wasn't actually getting recycled at the time, but it did educate my family until there was something in place. And I've always been passionate about the environment. And so throughout my my professional career, I went towards a path of a more traditional route where I attended law school, I worked at law firms, I worked in the entertainment business for many, many years in New York. And a lot of the events that I used to attend were fundraisers that were near dear to my heart, everything to do with planets and sustainability. And over time, I decided to create fundraisers. I was already in the entertainment business and representing acts and creating, ways of gathering people to watch, you know, some type of performance. But I was trying to connect the dots of creating a way to gather people and also educate people and then bring something good out of a wonderful evening. So I met Sarah about, I'd say 6 to 7 years ago, right after more or less she started Rescue Chocolate. And we met at one of these fundraiser events that I was putting together. And that's where we got to talking about vegan and what's going on in New York and what's more importantly not going on in New York, and my take on what was already in existence that as far as like, and a fun event that I just didn't see happening as often as they needed to be in my community. And also for people who are not vegan or vegetarian, a way of trying to merge the two communities together for the purpose of learning, educating, and hopefully bettering the environment. So that's where US Veg Corp started, and we created our first launch event, which was the New York City Vegetarian Food Festival, which encapsulated all these ideas and basically was a platform to raise awareness for not only like new food products and culinary techniques, but also health and wellness and the environmental issues affecting all living beings on this planet. And since then, we've expanded even more, and every year we try to keep fresh and anew and be on top of what the current conditions are.
That's super. Yeah. Okay, let's go back to Sarah. I'd like to know more. Well, first let me say this about our listeners need to know that we're speaking with Sarah and Nira. They're both young women that are doing great things all over the country with health shows. We're going to talk more about that. And I want to also eventually ask you both your goals for your life, your health, the health movement, et cetera. But I want to tell our listeners that you both run a thing called U.S. Veg Corp, and you plan events, you do marketing, you are growing very fast because the green and veggie movements are growing fast. You do events in New York City, Arizona, California, and also eco-friendly events, too. You tie all that in together, and they'll do it. I met you both at the event you had a few weeks ago at the Raleigh Studios, the film studios in Hollywood, and it was great. The show was super. Both of you just did a great job, a lot of great vendors, and I really liked the speakers. You had some outstanding speakers with a lot of passion and caring. I've gone to many events and seen speakers, but as good as any of them, if not better. They were great people. I went and talked to them, a lot of them afterwards. So kudos to both of you. Great, great show. Now tell our listeners, starting with you, Sarah, about the New York City event more and anything else you want to say about that and to inspire our listeners, because we have a lot of listeners in New York City. Our studio's in New York. Gary Knowles in New York. So please elaborate on the New York City festival you have coming up.
Okay, sure. So the next New York City Vegetarian Food Festival will be our seventh year, and it's on May 28th and 29th. It's a weekend in Manhattan at the Metropolitan Pavilion, and we take over two floors at the Metropolitan Pavilion. We have over 100 vendors. We have a main speaker stage. We have a cooking demonstration stage. We have a big kids area full of activities, and we always have extra side fun things going on. Like last year we had a wheatgrass bar where you could take shots of wheatgrass. But the festival every year has a little something different. Our vendors include local vegan restaurants, small companies with new food products, national brands, health and wellness companies, clothing, shoes, all kinds of things. So there's always something new to try as far as food and new, all sorts of new things.
Good, good. Neera, would you like to add anything about the New York event coming up for our listeners?
Yeah, sure. So one of the main things that we tried to focus on is also the family aspect of it. So we also have a kids area in all of our main events, and kids are 10 and under are allowed to come in for free. And this kids area is also a very curated area where there are activities. It's not just a little area where people just drop off their children, because we do believe education needs to begin at, you know, the very small level, just like, you know, with me, that's where it started as well. Kids do pay attention, and it leads all the way up to the parents. The event is not, like I said earlier, not just for vegans or vegetarians. It's for everybody, and every year we had noticed that over half of the people that do attend our event happen to not be vegan or vegetarian. They're just very curious about plant-based and plant-based lifestyle. And we create an event that's very open to all aspects of people coming in. And it's a really fun event. It's not a trade show by any means. It's definitely a festival environment.
Oh, that's super. Yeah, okay, one by one, let's talk about your goals, both of you. Start with Sarah, because you have you're involved with animal rights, you're involved with health, veganism, plant-based diet, eco-friendly, the environment, greens, so much that you're involved with, and your shows are outstanding, the one I went to. I'd like to know your goals for the future of yourself, your health shows, and about how we can teach people all over the country and world more about all these things that we're talking about. Sarah.
Okay. Well, we do want to see our festivals. We have three cities now. We want to see them grow and expand every year as they have, which has been really exciting, to reach more people who have always thought that eating vegetarian was out of reach for whatever reason, if it was too expensive or just too hard, or they just didn't know how to do it healthily. The more people that we can reach, the better. And it's so wonderful now that we have things like we just tried out in the California Festival, like Facebook Live. So even on our speaker main stage, people from all over the country can tune in and listen to what these amazing speakers are saying and be able to see their PowerPoint presentations live. So as far as goals, I mean, we would love to just reach more and more people and debunk some of those myths that are holding people back. And in New York City, we also have small events. So we have our large-scale festival, but we do have small gatherings each month. We do Vegan Drinks Brooklyn, which is just a really casual event. We always bring in a different food vendor and just encourage people to mingle and chat, and it's open to non-vegans as well as vegans, and it always just proves to be a great environment to make people feel comfortable and discuss different things if they're interested in going vegan and finding out more about it. So we love just growing the community feel, and that's what our events try to foster.
And that's what you did at the show I went to a few weeks ago in Hollywood. A lot of education, a lot of speakers were really getting into deep thoughts. One more thing I want to add, both of you, the cooking demonstrations were outstanding, and I know in New York City you're going to have that also. But anyway, let's get to Mira. I'd like to hear your thoughts on other things along this line, your goals, but what else you have in mind for what you'd like to see happen in the future.
Well, as a company, we obviously would love to expand, and whether it be just within those particular regions for those festivals or outside of them as well. And so part of it is to also not just get the awareness and education to the local community, but also get to the major businesses and the political leaders and have them, you know, be aware of what we do and our events and hopefully participate in the future and have a more prominent role in education through our events, through being speakers or sponsors or, you know, even being vendors. So, you know, part of it is to educate one-on-one the community, but we'd like to see a larger picture down the road of, you know, working it all the way up to policymakers and seeing a more drastic shift within the community and within the world towards a more plant-based and more environmentally friendly world.
Excellent. Really good. Now, the next question for the two of you, but first let me tell our listeners, we're speaking to Sarah Gross and Mira Haliwada. They're the coordinators for the U.S. Veg Corporation, which is based in New York City, but it's with events all over the country on a lot of great issues that we're talking about. Next question would be, in your spare time, when you're not working on this, I'd like to know more about both of you in your own personal lives, starting with Sarah. What do you do when you're not working on this event? I know you have the Rescue Chocolate. You could talk more about that if you want. You could talk more about goals, anything you want to talk about. What do you do in your spare time when you're not working on this? Tell us more about yourself.
Well, a big part of being able to focus and kind of change gears between the two kind of jobs that I do, Rescue Chocolate and U.S. Veg Corp, is a mind-body routine. So I like to meditate at least once a day for 10 to 20 minutes. And when I do that, when I can stay with it, it makes such a big difference. And closely tied to that is an exercise routine. So I like to switch it up between doing ballet classes, back to my former life, going to ballet every now and then. Like, if I can't make it to that, then I just like to do anything, running in the park or dumbbells or anything like that. And I feel like if I can balance that, fit that into my day, then my work can go so much more smoothly. And other than that, I just love being a tourist in my own city. New York City is always full of inspiration and so many things to explore, even though I've been here for 10 years already.
That's right. New York City, I did a lot of modern dancing, and I did a lot of other work in New York, and great atmosphere all over the place. There's so much to do there, so much to see, Los Angeles is quite a bit like that also, but New York is special because it's been around for so long and there's so much character, and so this is great. So Neela, tell us more about yourself and about what the other things that you like to do besides working on the health issues, or you can add to that, you can add to your goals. What do you do when you're not doing the these events?
Sure.
Tell us more about yourself.
Sure. I have another company called Two Sheets Productions that actually that was originally how Sarah met me, was because Two Sheets Productions is doing musical events, and I represent musical artists, and I still do that as well as do some licensing and fall upon my my education. And still do consulting for legal and business consulting and marketing. But my passion has always been traveling. It was kind of instilled in me when my parents brought me over here from Israel. So I'm an immigrant. At 4 years old, I was traveling the seas. So I constantly love to get on a plane and visit other places and learn about cultures, and my meditation is being in nature and taking in the atmosphere and the beach. So anytime I get a chance, I love to travel, and of course being with friends. I've lived in New York for 20 years, and for somebody who has that itch to always want to travel, New York is one of the best places to live because it's constantly changing. And like Sarah said, you're constantly a tourist. So I like to keep up with just observing, people in their own environments in different places of the world.
Good. Excellent. Wow, this is great. Both of you are doing so many good things. Let's talk about the health industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry, the fact that more and more people are getting disease and sickness. I'd just like to get your thoughts on things that you would like to see happen, and how what's wrong, and what we can do about some of these things. Pick out a subject or some things that you see that are happening with in this country, especially in the United States, with the health industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry, and how that affects and tied into what you're doing. Sarah?
Yeah, well, I think the key is prevention with a lot of the diseases that we see in our country. And it seems so clear coming from the plant-based perspective how much good a plant-based diet can do for a person's health. With all of the doctors that we've worked with at the festival, they've spoken at the festival for the last few years, it is so clear how much good a plant-based diet can do, from reversing diabetes to reversing high blood pressure. It's good for cancer prevention. It's just so good for a person's health. So I guess, if we could, what we're trying to do to get the word out about these benefits would help in the preventative sphere. It seems like, I'm not an expert about health insurance or anything like that, but our system does seem a little broken as far as what people get charged in order to receive care. So I see a lot of friends go without insurance, and people who do have insurance have a lot.
Yeah,
so
very good. Absolutely, you're right. And in fact, other countries, I know Cuba, France, other places in Europe, they have free medical work. And they helped have free education. So we're way behind in those areas. All right, Neera, I'd like to get your thoughts on what's going on in the world, the health industry, pharmaceutical, medical industry, or any other issue that you guys are tied up with that you see problems with or you'd like to see improve or work on. Your thoughts.
Well, I actually have, I'm kind of a product of that issue, in the sense of I have family members that are very close to me, including my mother, that works within the medical profession. And unfortunately, I've had family members that have had to undergo some serious treatments. And I've firsthand witnessed, some of the things that Sarah was saying that are broken within, our current medical situation. But one of the things that I think that our current situation is lacking more so is that even after you get a disease, there isn't as much in the terms of education for doctors on other aspects of treatment that do not involve something that, like, Pfizer puts out. There are natural ways of treating people with some of the diseases, and they are, you know, most people just are not aware of what those are, or they go through traditional medical school just learning basically what the routine is and trying to avoid getting sued. So I would love for, you know, the American Health Department to start educating in medical schools, you know, other aspects of treatment, whether it be like through the naturopath or aspect of it, or just even incorporating, you know, plant-based diets or some other aspects of vitamins and medication that might be another option to give to people who are ailing. But again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not qualified to speak truthfully on that one. It's just from my observation, it's very lacking in that aspect of just education from the doctors. The other thing that I feel very strongly about, and being from raised a lot in Detroit and having a lot of friends and family within the auto industry, one of the things I am a big supporter of is hybrid cars or electric cars and having the shift from fossil fuel and oil to these other alternative, you know, ways of travel. And so I'm really excited about, like, you know, the new Tesla Motors, you know, series that's coming out that's more affordable for people. And I'm very supportive of, like, the other hybrids that are out there that Ford puts out and Chevy and even Nissan. But there are, you know, concerns going down the road, and I'm hoping that the federal government stays true to giving these automotive companies government subsidies to continue with their green innovation and to give people a federal tax cut for purchasing and, you know, taking on these hybrids or electric cars. And I'd love to see a growth in that.
Excellent. You'd be a good speaker at one of the health shows just on those issues, because so much is going wrong in this country that needs to be fixed and changed. Because the trouble is, though, people at the top, people that are running things, not just politicians, but the corporations and the banks, they're all about just making money on the wars that we have all over the world. They're just money-making opportunities everywhere for them and very little for the regular people like us. That's excellent. Yeah. So, yeah, that's really well said. I like that, Mary. And now let's talk about, you know, this show talks about those issues, and we have solutions, we have guests, we have answers, not only about the health and body, mind, spirit, but we look strongly about what's wrong with the country and climate change and cell phone radiation, wireless radiation, but climate change. There's so much out there that needs to be worked on, and that's what my show is dedicated to, and so am I. All right, let's talk about how we can inspire or motivate, and take your time on this, both of you, people, on what they can do. And let me get my take first, and then you can follow up and give your thoughts or add to what this show and myself are all about. This is what I do for my life, to teach people, give talks, get people CDs, and get people books, or have them read something. Tell them where to go to listen to certain shows on radio, not just my show, but Gary Noel's show and other things, and to inspire people. And it takes, you know, as you both know, because you're both out there working with people, it takes, we've got to find a way to get to these people. You got to hit their hot button. What are they interested in? And talk to them about that, as far as improving their own health, improving their family's health, and what they could do is perhaps as activists, because there's going to be a lot of things going on, as you both know, because the new, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, about the new regime coming in with Trump. But anyway, I'd like both of you to talk about anything to do with how we can help people, inspire them, motivate them in this whole realm of health, body, mind, spirit. Sarah, you're first. Anything you want to say about that?
Well, from what I've seen, it really has to come from what's inside the person, what connects for them, what would be the reason that they would want to make any change personally. Some people who come to our festivals might want to eat a plant-based diet for their health, and some people want to eat that way because they've seen footage of factory farms and they've been disturbed and don't want to support that anymore. So it's just about, like you said, connecting with people over what matters to them. So if somebody, for instance, I had a taxi driver who in California asking me what I was in town for, so I brought up the California Vegetarian Food Festival, and then she said, oh, I always wanted to be vegetarian, but my family, they just cook so much meat, I would never be able to eat with them. And, you know, that was a great opening. I could understand why it was holding her back. She said she didn't really like to eat meat, but this was such a social thing. And so that was a great way to start the conversation. And I could suggest some of my favorite cookbooks and websites and getting inspiration on Instagram and some of these food bloggers. And for her, it was just she didn't know where to even start if she wanted to eat vegetarian. So I would just say connecting with each person on what matters to them.
Excellent. Really good. Yeah, we more information, more education needs to be out there. It's not coming from the media and from schools. And it just really, I take this as a passion for my work, my job. Not just a radio station, but I give meetings of a group called the Gary Noel Health Support Group. We teach people all about health. We show films and talk. Sometimes we get Gary on the phone. So there's a lot of work to be done out there, and I really admire people like yourselves, people that care and they're doing something positive to make this a better world. That's what you're doing. All right. Your thoughts, Mary, about the education of in inspiring people, the health movement, what's going on, what we can do in the future?
Well, I also believe that conversation is the key, and it's also the approach is important as well, because very, very big on not shaming or not forcing information down somebody's throat that's not prepared to listen. So it's really about, you know, like listening to people and, like in Sarah's example, you know, addressing the questions they have at the time without trying to convert anybody or feel like they're being converted. So what we try to do is just, you know, make a situation where these are things that when we create our events, the way that we approach it is that these are things that we have questions about or we're interested in personally. And we feel like if we have an interest in it, or if this is like, you know, an issue that we feel is, you know, pretty time appropriate, then the people that attend our event might either come for, let's say, you know, they want to see the chef demos, but they might stumble into a speaker, you know, talking about like the environmental concerns, and then suddenly they have an aha moment. So the best thing for everyone to do is just keep the conversation going and just make sure that, you know, you're very aware of people's feelings and not to become a shame type of people or like go after people for not being in the same headspace you are at the moment. It's all about education.
Excellent. Good answers. Both of you have so much good things to say, and I really want to inspire you. And the next time the New York City event comes, hopefully you'll send me some information about it so I can announce it on the radio show. We'll try to remind you or call you, but if we don't, please send us the information. We have a lot of listeners in New York City. We want to let them know about that. We will talk about that. I'll get your contact information as we wind down here. But first, I want to add to what you just said, Mary, about listening to people. Go slow. I had one guest on, a real strong vegan rights person that's done so much. He's great. But his philosophy was tell people to stop cold. In other words, stop eating meat completely cold. And you can't do that. That goes for alcohol. That goes for well, not alcohol, but that one you should probably stop slow. But cigarettes, I mean, what I tell them is, you know, they have this thing called Meatless Mondays. I'm sure you both heard about. Either that or but start slowly, but gradually cut back. That's when I tell them I'm more patient. Like you said, Mary, go slow, listen to them, take your time, and don't press too hard on them. You know, what I do is talk to them a little bit, and then next time I see them, I follow up a little more. So those are all good things. Next subject, and I want to let our listeners know, I'm speaking to Sarah and Mary, both Mira running the U.S. Veg Corp organization, and we're going to talk about New York City in a minute and what they're going to be doing in the future. But first, one more important question or thoughts, plant-based diet. I want you, both of you, to give me your thoughts about a plant-based diet, about vegetarianism, organic things, eco-friendly items. Give our people, of all those things, what kind of advice would you give to people that are listening right now about what they can do to improve in any one of those areas? Sarah.
So you're saying if they want to maybe eat more plant-based?
If they would want to, how can they go about changing their lifestyle? And if, I want you to inspire them about, give them some background on a plant-based diet, give them some information about a vegetarian diet, about organic foods, just give a one-on-one of any one of those issues, because we have people that don't know the first thing about this.
Yeah, well, a lot of people often think about protein a lot, and they just wonder how they can get enough protein as a vegetarian and let alone as a vegan. But what most people don't realize is that you can get enough of your recommended daily allowance of protein in a bowl of greens. If you're eating whole foods, especially greens and whole grains, the average person is going to have plenty of protein just by eating real foods. If you're eating potato chips and candy all day and that's your vegan diet, then you're going to be lacking things. But if you're not a mega bodybuilder and you're eating real food, then you're not going to suffer from a protein deficiency. And in fact, no one has ever died of a protein deficiency. So that's just kind of a funny, fun fact that so many people are stuck on that issue, and it's not an issue. So
right.
I've come to vegetarianism for a long time. I've been a vegetarian for 21 years and a vegan for 17 years. And, you know, so by this point, I don't feel that I'm missing anything. But I will say for people who are making the switch today, it's so much easier because there are so many really good plant-based alternatives to foods that you might be craving for a while as you transition from standard American diet to a plant-based diet. So, you know, when I first went vegan, my favorite food as a kid was macaroni and cheese. And these days you can find macaroni and cheese in a vegan form in a box in the grocery store. So, of course, you can also make your own with nutritional yeast. That was a fun thing I discovered when I went vegan, this powder called nutritional yeast that you can just add to any kind of savory food and it brings a cheesy flavor. And while it's doing that, it also has B vitamins, which are really important for vegans because that is the one thing, vitamin B12, that we have to supplement or eat a fortified food that has B12. So if you want to get B12 through nutritional yeast or fortified cereals or just a supplement in a pill form, any of those work. But if you're missing the cheese, nutritional yeast is a good option.
Good. All right. Two things that I want to ask Mary to speak about. One is just the same subject we just said. Pick out something that you think our listeners need to learn, because we do have listeners that know very little about some of these things. Then second, we have a lot of New York listeners. Please give us the basics information about New York City on the big event you're having in May. Go right ahead, please.
Okay. So another thing that you have to keep aware of if you want to switch into a plant-based diet is just to be open-minded. There are a lot of new things out there, and some of them taste amazing. Some of them may not, but that's like anything else, you know, out there. It just depends on your taste buds. But there's so many new innovations. Like if you want eggs, there's, you know, new innovations in vegan egg technology. And like I said earlier, you know, you don't have to switch right away 100%, but definitely do your research, ask your doctor, nutritionist on, you know, what it is that you are missing in your diet, perhaps, that you might need to add additional broccoli or get some type of other type of supplement, because you can't do a plant-based diet on just eating celery and carrots alone. And as far as our event in New York City, it's happening May 20th and 21st this year at the Metropolitan Pavilion over in Chelsea. And you can find more information on it at www.nycvegfoodfest.com. We, like Sarah said earlier, we have a number of vendors, speakers, and experts and chefs that are going to be in attendance. We are still putting everything together, so if people want to participate, we'll be launching our application in the next couple weeks or so. And but feel free to email us at info@usvegcorp.com. And at usvegcorp.com, you'll also see our other festivals that we run, one that's actually coming up in Arizona in January. So for that one, you can see it at azvegfoodfest.com. And we're still accepting applications for that as well.
Good. That's in Scottsdale, Arizona. And what are the dates on that one? The dates?
It's January 27th and 28th.
Excellent. That sounds good. We do have a lot of people go to Arizona to retire, to get the fresh, healthy air there and dry air. And that's great. All right. Now, one more thing, Neri. Do you have any your own personal website? And real quickly, because we've got about 3 minutes left, what do you want? How can people reach you if they want to talk to you about some of you or your other work besides this? Or just give any more personal contact information, and then I'll get Sarah's.
Well, you can reach both of us at info@usvegcorp.com or separately at Nira, N-I-R-A, at usvegcorp.com or Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at usvegcorp.com.
Excellent. Good. All right. We're winding down here. Sarah, your thoughts on just anything you want to say about inspiring people and educating them and motivating them, because you guys do such great work, and anything you want to add to the New York City event. Take about 2 minutes to finish up there, because we've got to finish up, and go right ahead, please.
Yeah, well, we hope everybody will join us. We have a lot of social media channels, so you can stay in touch. We're at NYC Veg Food Fest on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. It's also the website is .com/NYC Veg Food Fest. And we're doing events throughout the year, so we hope people will sign up for our mailing list, which they can do on our website to see all the fun stuff that we have coming up. And we always invite people to reach out to us if you have any questions. We're here to help and make everything clear.
Excellent. Now, that's NYC Veg, V-E-G, Food.
Yes.
Fest.com. And also, is there any kind of phone number that people, because we do have people that aren't as involved with online, is there any kind of phone number that people could call for more information or questions or whatever? Have any ideas on
that? You can call at 917-544-7306.
Okay, 917-544-73, and the rest?
06.
06, good. All right, excellent. Well, we're right to finish up with this, both of you. We're great. Keep up the great work. In just a few seconds, would you like to say anything at all, to starting with you, Sarah, to motivate people to get healthier? And then, Mira, you same thing. Take a minute or less, both of you.
All you have to do is get started. You just have to want it and get started, and you're on your way. So there's a wealth of resources out there, And like I said, feel free to contact us on anything. We have lots of resources.
And Neera, would you like to say anything?
Yeah, keep an open mind, and food is an adventure as well. So, you know, it's all about just tasting good, wonderful things and loving each other and loving the world.
Excellent. So we will, on this station, with your help, to send us more information, or I guess we can look on your thing, but this is a reminder to make sure that we do it. We will do it. We get overwhelmed with so much people that want this and that announcements. But I really want to announce what you're doing in New York City, because the amount of listeners that we have there, and I just love both you girls, what you're doing, your youthfulness and your energy, your passion. Thank you both for being on this show, and we will talk again.
Thank you.
All right, very good. All right, let me get that phone number again for our listeners that don't have access to. I want you to make sure I'm saying these numbers the right way. 917 area code. 544-7306. Okay. That's
correct.
The number to call if you do. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you again. Great show. You're both doing great work. Keep it up. All right.
Thank you.
I'd like to move. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. All right. I'd like to move on to the subject of Fidel Castro as we wind down the show. We've got a few minutes left. Fidel Castro died at age 90. A few days ago, and the reason I want to bring him up is because he has done things that this show is all about, that I'm all about, and that is caring and doing things for the poor, the elderly, the children, the sick people, people that are dying, people that don't have food. Fidel Castro saw that. Everyone saw that. Right before 1959, when they came in and stormed Havana and took over the city and got rid of Batista. I know there's people out there that don't like what I'm saying. I know there's people out there that might not like Castro for different reasons. Nobody's perfect. Yes, he had some flaws. We all have flaws. But I like what he did. I also like the gentleman that died in Venezuela a year or two ago, Hugo Chavez, because both these men care. And by the way, they were good friends. They helped each other quite a bit, with people, helping the poor and everything. But Castro, let's get back to him now. Fidel Castro was all about education. He had people that turned into professors. Health, his whole health system was great. Free health for everyone. Free education for everyone. And just a wonderful, wonderful way that they fought racism. Now, I know there was still some racism there, but you can't clean anything 100%, but you could do a heck of a good job, and they did. He also, in my notes here, other countries, yes, he would go to other countries, send his health team doctors to places like Africa. He offered to take people to help Katrina when that happened in New Orleans. Bush didn't want to let him come in. But he had health people ready to help, and they would have helped him in a great, great way. He also, in 1975 in Angola, is one of the most famous things he did, and he got lots of awards and lots of good words from Africa, the country, because of his caring about Angola. He had people go there, not only help with health, but fighting to help defend. His soldiers went to defend Angola against the South African apartheid, the people from South Africa that were trying to run over and control Angola. But Angola won with the help of Cuba, and they gave Cuba and Castro a lot of credit coming in there and helping. So there were Cubans that died for the sake of helping other people. And there are people, they've gone to many countries, and they've done so many things. This is what I want to say. I know some people don't like him, but he did a lot of good things. Socialism, communism are not what the United States teaches us that they're bad. No, they're out there to help people. So there's good and bad in everything. Capitalism has some good things, but it also has some bad things. What it's done is created greed. I mean, in this country, we have horrible, horrible problems with corporations, with the war machine, with the pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry. There's so many things, and this is what this show is all about. So let me wind down and start thanking people and telling you that next week we have on Ellie Lax. It'll be Monday, December the 5th, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time. She's going to talk about animals, love, how the children, getting inner-city children going there, which they do quite a bit, and learning about love from animals, how they exchange love. These kids go back with a whole new sense of understanding animals. Instead of being mean to animals, they understand them more. Instead of being hateful, they learn to learn about love. This is really, really, she's doing great work. We're going to talk about also with Ellie Lax, our guest next Monday, about the things that are going wrong in this country and her thoughts on that. She's got some great insights on that. And I'll be right there with her giving my thoughts on that. So make sure you listen next Monday, December the 5th, to one of what some people say is our best show ever, our best guest ever. That's Ellie Lax of the Gentle Barn, a place that takes in animals that nobody else wants. She's got machinery. I mean, you name it. All kinds of machinery that help these animals get well. A lot of them come in there very, very sick. All right. So let me thank everybody for being on the show, and then we'll go out with our song. First, I want to thank Gary Null for having this station. This is a great, great station, the best in the world. And Progressive Radio Network is the best station in the world. And I want to thank our director of Progressive Radio Network, Jesse. I want to thank our engineer today, Zach. I want to thank all the staff at Progressive Radio Network. They do a great, great job. It's been rejuvenated. There's been major changes the last month or two, thank goodness. And we're not getting hacked as much as we were before, thank goodness. So also I want to thank our L.A. staff, our director, our producer in L.A., Stuart Hassel, doing a great job. Also our associate producer, Lydia. And finally, I want to thank you, the listeners, for coming in here. And then, oh, I forgot, let's get our guests, our two guests, Sarah and Mira, in New York City, having a big event coming up in May in New York City. It was a great show. Thank you for being in. Tune in again next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time for another great show. Thank you.
Time to lend a hand.